Paul, when writing to Pastor Timothy, urges him and us all to improve in our spiritual lives and thereby please God. And so Paul gives some specific things that we can do. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1 to 6, Paul says, I urge then, first of all, that petitions, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for all people, for kings and those in authority. He says, I urge then that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. That is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and mankind, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all people. So what are the things that Paul wants us to improve in? One, he says, we must pray unceasingly. Two, he says, we must live righteously. Three, we must evangelize fervently. And last week, we spoke about prayer and how we should pray for all people. Today, I want to share about living godly lives. A pastor wrote, an ugly part of me sure showed his beastly face the other night. I was driving on a two-lane road that was about to become a single lane. A woman in the car beside me was in the lane that continued. I was in the one that ended. I needed to go ahead of her. I thought to myself, my schedule, no doubt, was more important than hers. And after all, I am a man of the cloth. So I floored it. And guess what? She did too. And when my lane ended, she was slightly ahead, half a car's length. I growled and slowed down and let her go ahead. Over her shoulder, she gave me a sweet little bye-bye wave. My blood began to boil. I started to dim my headlights, then I paused. The sinister part of me said, wait a minute. Am I not to shed light on dark places? So I put a little high beam in a rearview mirror. She retaliated by slowing down to a crawl. This woman was mean. She wasn't going to go beyond 20 kilometers per hour. And I wasn't going to take my lights out of the rearview mirror. Like two stubborn donkeys, she kept it slow and I kept it bright. After more unkind thoughts, the road widened and I started to pass. Wouldn't you know it? A red light left us side by side at the intersection. What happened next contains both good news and bad news. The good news is she waved at me. The bad news is she waved with one finger. This horrible word. And it was not one you want to imitate. Moments later, conviction surfaced. Why did I do that? I'm typically a calm guy. But for 15 minutes, I was a beast. Brothers and sisters in Christ, is that you? Are you a beast at times? At home or at work or driving or shopping? Well, I personally can't relate to that. I'm just kidding. Everybody's like, it happens to me, friends, certainly. I know Pastor John Hagee, I love this guy, pastor of Cornerstone Church in San Diego, Texas. He has 20,000 members in his church. Hagee said that one day he got highly irritated with the driver who cut in front of him. He made ugly or angry hand gestures, yelled and honked furiously. And at the light, he looked into the car next to him and there was a family waving from his church who had witnessed his meltdown. We can be pretty good at church most of the times. But God is very much interested, friends, listen, how we act and react outside the church. God is interested how we live every day. Isn't that true, friends? Paul said in to Titus, Pastor Titus 3, verse 1 and 2, remind the people to be subject to rulers and authorities, to be obedient, to be ready to do whatever is good, to slander no one, to be peaceable and considerate, and to show true humility toward all men. Another version says, to be peaceful and considerate and always be gentle toward everyone. Peter added in 1 Peter 2 verse 12, live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God. Our text for today, 1 Peter 2 verse 1 and 2. I'm sorry, 1 Timothy. I made Candace look all over for 1 Peter. No, I meant 1 Timothy. Sorry. 2 verse 1 and 2. Paul says to Timothy, I urge then, first of all, that requests, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made to everyone, for kings and all those in authority. And then the second one, in essence, he's saying, I urge then that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. Paul says to Timothy, I urge you, I encourage you, I challenge you, I charge you, I beg you, I plead with you, I appeal to you, I'm asking you, what? That we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. God wants us to, friends. He wants us to be better people than we are now. In essence, he wants us to be like Jesus. But this is not an easy task given the world we live in. Remember the words of a prayer I mentioned last week by Joe Wright, pastor of Central Christian Church in Wichita, Kansas, when asked to pray before the Kansas State House in Topeka. I read it last week. I want to read it again. But when I was preparing my sermon, I noticed he used the word we. He didn't say these politicians here. He didn't say them. He said we. Let me read the prayer for you. He prayed, Heavenly Father, we come before you today and ask your forgiveness and seek your direction and guidance. We know your word says, woe are those who call evil good, but that's exactly what we have done. We have lost our spiritual equilibrium and inverted our values. We confess that we have ridiculed the absolute truth of your word and called it pluralism. We have worshipped other gods and called it multiculturalism. We have endorsed perversion and called it an alternative lifestyle. We have exploited the poor and called it the lottery. We have neglected the needy and called it self-preservation. We have rewarded laziness and called it welfare. We have killed our unborn and called it a choice. We have neglected to discipline our children and called it being self-esteem. Called it building self-esteem. We have abused power and called it political savvy. We have coveted our neighbor's possession and called it ambition. We have polluted the airways with profanity and called it freedom of expression. We have ridiculed the time-honored values of our forefathers and called it enlightenment. Did you see the word, did you hear the word we, friends? We, not they, we. We know that in many ways, friends, we have failed. We know that in many ways, we have failed to be holy or godly. All of us. Even Paul says, the things I want to do, I don't do. The things I don't want to do, I do. Remember he said that in Romans 7:15? Friends, what does it mean to be holy or to be godly? The simple way to define this is to live a life that is set apart. To live a life that is set apart. And the theological term for that is sanctification. Sanctification is the process of being made holy. And the process of being made holy is to be set apart. To be set apart. To be different. You know, there are Christians today that others don't know they're Christians because they haven't been set apart. There's no sanctification going on. There's no difference. Friends, a lot of times that means doing things that people don't agree with. Living for God is not always popular, but it is always rewarding. To live a holy life means to look at every aspect of your life. It's about asking, is the decision I'm about to make going to bring the most glory to God or to me? And I see it where people making decisions to exalt themselves, to bring glory to themselves. We need to ask, am I making this choice based on what I want or what God wants? It's asking, am I doing this so I can be glorified and praised and everybody gives me a tap on the back? Or so that God can be glorified and praised? The righteous always do things for God's glory and not their own. Do you agree with that, friends? The righteous always do things for God's glory and not their own. and they do them with joy and a spirit of humility, never pride. They recognize that it's only by God's grace they are saved, and not of their works, so that they cannot boast. We sometimes are given to boasting, even boasting in our wrongdoings. Somebody boasted to me one day how they tore a strip off someone. I told them. I tore a strip off them. Boasting in wrongdoing. Somebody says how I gave that person a bit of my mind. Boasting in wrongdoing. Or how they gained on someone else's loss. Or how they can break the law, boasting in wrongdoing. Somebody said, hey Keith, how long do you take to get to the north side of Edmonton? I said, at the speed limit, I take about an hour 15. They said, what? I take about a half an hour. Boasting in wrongdoing. Because it sets a bad example for others. A student from Bible College was traveling down the highway with his pedal to the metal. He was having a great time completely trashing the speed limit. And suddenly in his rear view, you guessed it, he saw the flashing lights. As the officer walked up to the student's car from Bible school, he noticed a sticker with two big words on the back of that car. Jesus saves. The officer had plenty of advice for the Bible college student. I'll sum it up this way. The officer said, young man, you've violated the law, endangered innocent lives, risked your own life by your illegal and dangerous speeding. All of that contrasts the words printed on your car and does not bring honor to Jesus. Isn't that something, friends? Now in 1 Timothy 4 verse 7 and 8, Paul says, have nothing to do with godless. Listen, have nothing to do with godless myths and old wives' tales. Rather, train, discipline yourself to be godly. For physical training, it has some value. You can go to the gym, yeah, you got some value, right? But godliness, friends, has value for all things. Holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. Isn't that something? Paul tells Timothy about the value of living a godly life. He starts out by telling Timothy and us that worldliness has no value. He says that godless myths and old wives' tales, the things of this world are valueless. I made that word. Is there a word like that? Okay. I'm good at making words. So then, he's kind of saying, why invest ourselves into things that are worthless for the long term? Why? He tells us to have nothing to do with worthless things. But note, friends, that you cannot have instant godliness. There is no such a thing. Today we have instant coffee, instant pudding, and we also want instant godliness. You got it? No. We want somebody to say, do this and you're godly. But godliness doesn't come that way. Instead, friends, listen, godly lives come from the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Amen. The Holy Spirit working in our lives. Is it a one-time thing? No. Ongoing. Friends, let me just say three little things, and for those who are writing. Firstly, there has to be within us a desire for godliness. The word discipline, for the most part, has disappeared out of our minds and our hearts and our culture. We hardly know what it is anymore. And yet there is no other way, friends, to attain godliness. Paul's words constitute a divine command to be godly as a Christian. Listen what Peter says in 1 Peter 1, verse 14 to 16. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. Do not conform to that. But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, be holy because I am holy. Do you see that, friends? I understand that perfection and holiness may not be attained totally in this life. Still, God expects us to strive unto holiness. Notice the phrase in the verse before, the phrase, discipline yourself. Or another version says, train yourself for the purpose of godliness. Train yourself towards godliness. Train yourself to be orientated towards godliness. In other words, friends, our life ought to be disciplined, structured, set up, organized, and running day by day towards the goal of godliness. We are not perfect, but this is what we should be doing. We should be striving unto godliness. Isn't that true? Day by day. Well, last Tuesday I messed up. Oh, sorry, Lord. Strive, friends. So when our life is focused upon being godly, the goal will constantly come to your mind. You will constantly be focused, whether at work or school or home, or you have it in your mind. Am I reflecting Jesus Christ, bringing him glory? That is what a real Christian wants to do, friends, is to reflect Jesus in their lives. There are times we all become discouraged and weak and tired and upset when we lose sight of that goal. You may even rebel, but a true believer in Jesus Christ will say, this is what I want, Lord. I am hungry and thirsty for righteousness. Righteousness is a big word that means right living, godliness, holiness before God. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 17. Therefore, listen, friends, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. All things, remember the things, all things have passed away. Look, see, behold, all things have become new. Now you yearn, now you desire to be godly out of a love for what the Lord Jesus has done for you. And secondly, friends, there has to be the work of godliness. The work of godliness. How can I discipline or train myself? First, godliness doesn't happen automatically. Godliness means work. Godliness is a sustained daily effort. You said to me earlier, it's not a one-time thing. Every day. Every day, friends. Hebrew writer says in Hebrews 12, verse 1 and 2. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author or the pioneer, some version says, and the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Things must be laid down to be disciplined, friends. Things must be laid down. No one shows up at Roger's place and becomes a hockey star player. Hockey player is a star. No one just shows up there and then, oh, yep, you're an Oiler. A weight watcher always starts with light weights and works his way up. You don't just walk into the gym, bring the heaviest one here. No, you'll kill yourself, you'll do damage. You start off, but you get better and better. You must practice every day. Isn't that true, friends? In these areas to get good. Yet we sometimes think that godliness comes overnight. It takes hard work, friends, and it is ongoing. There has to be a desire for godliness, and there has to be work, the work of godliness. One more thing. There has to be the practice of godliness. The practice of godliness. How? I'm glad you asked. By denying self. By denying self. Let's look at Luke chapter 9. 23. Then he said to them all, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross. When? Pardon?
Daily.
Daily. Oh yeah, I also got the word here, daily. We must take up his cross daily. And follow me. It's not denying self of coffee and chocolate. No. It's denying the self within us. Denying the self within us. It's denying the old desires, the old habits, the old practices that were acquired before you became a Christian. Daily denial of self, friends, indicated the presence of a day-by-day battle inside the Christian. we take up the cross as an instrument of death upon which we crucify the self every day. Here's my cross, friends. I'm taking up my cross and following Jesus. But am I going to crucify Jesus on this cross? No, I'm going to crucify self on this cross. Taking up the cross doesn't mean carrying a heavy burden, or as one woman said, well, I guess my cross is my husband. She didn't say that. Taking up the cross means going to a place of death, to self. Do you see that, friends? God wants to make you like Jesus. And the boy's trying to make you pushing Jesus aside. No, it's you. No, I must be crucified to become like Jesus. Self must die to be godly, to be holy, to be sanctified. Colossians, Paul says in Colossians 3, 9 and 10, do not lie to each other, since you have taken off, listen, you have taken off the old self with its practices, and you've put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. Friends, whenever God says take off, he says put on. Do you agree with that? As we die to self, we must seek to live for Christ. You see, this old nature, it must die. That must die, so that I may live for Christ. The practice of godliness leads to the life of godliness. If you practice what God tells you to do, the obedient life will become part of you. There is no simple, quick way to godliness. It's a daily lifestyle, friends. In conclusion, our text says, I urge then, I plead, I beg, challenge, I exhort, I encourage. I urge then that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. We must be holy, because without holiness on earth, we can never be prepared to enjoy heaven. Amen?
Yes.
The book of Revelation says it nicely. Revelation 21, 27. Nothing evil will be allowed to enter, nor anyone who practices shameful idolatry and dishonesty, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. The saved. May God help each one of us. Listen, there's nobody here, not me. Me, I'm the champion. Like Paul said, I'm the chief. That doing wrong all the time. This word is for me, especially for me. Listen, friends. May we all live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. Allow me to close with just a scripture reading. 2 Peter 1. I'm going to end with this verse, these verses, 3-8. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness. Through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. Through these, He has given us His very great and precious promises, so that through them, you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. For this very reason, make every effort, and I like this part, friends. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness. And to goodness, knowledge. And to knowledge, self-control. And to self-control, perseverance. And to perseverance, godliness. And to godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Lord, you have seen what's happening. For some, they deny the power of God. The Bible says they have a form of godliness, but deny the power thereof. And so many live and nobody knows they even know you. But for us here, Lord, we thank you that you are constantly, continually working in our lives, Lord. I pray that each one of us here today will have the desire, Lord, in our hearts to be godly. That we will work towards it, Lord, and we will practice it every day in our lives. Help us, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.